actually started with talking about what is the gospel. You know, in Mark 16 and 15, the Lord says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I remember you sharing with me at times that people sometimes share the whole Bible.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not what it said. Mm-hmm. It didn't say go share the whole entire Bible. Because, you know, some parts of the Bible, now all of it is for our instruction and to learn.
2 Timothy 3:15-16.
Thank you. There's the reference.
That's right.
And but all of it is not necessarily the too good to be true news,
mm-hmm.
the gospel. And the gospel really is all predicated on Jesus and what he's done for us. So if the focus of the gospel is not Christ, him crucified, him resurrecting, him at the right hand of the Father, him giving you authority, then we're really not teaching good news. We're teaching news.
Information.
Yeah, information.
We're giving out information. Or we're not giving people something appealing and some bait and something enticing for them to enjoy or mm-hmm. grow their lives by.
Mm-hmm.
We're just kind of throwing the book at them. And
I can't stand that. Because you know what, guys? You can always use the Bible as a weapon. And that's what I found. People, and I don't, you know, well-meaning maybe, but they come at you with all these scriptures of what you should be doing and how you should be doing it. And you almost, instead of feeling God's love, you end up feeling God's wrath.
Yeah. And almost afraid. So that's why
absolutely.
I changed.
Absolutely.
Because I'm afraid that this will happen, or I'm afraid that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of built upon what tonight's conversation will be. So if you want to hear everything we talked about, you can go to our website, or you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Look up the Outlet Community Podcast, and you can listen to the entire first part, which really takes a deep dive. But tonight we want to talk about rules versus relationship. And as we establish that the gospel is the grace of God, I want to talk about the purpose of the law. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it's a very, we'll probably read all the way to, I want to say verse 28 in Romans.
From 1 to 28?
No, Romans chapter 3, verse 20. We're not reading the whole.
Oh.
But now you can.
I was about to say, ooh, okay.
No, feel free. You can. And it says in verse 20, for no one, Romans 3:20, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So the first purpose of the law is to tell us what sin is. If we were on 285 or whatever freeway that you have, and there was no speed limit on that freeway, you could, in a sense, go as fast as you wanted. Now, some of us with the speed limit go as fast as we want. But you could still go as fast as you wanted on that freeway without being penalized.
Right.
Now, one thing is true, that no matter how fast you go without being penalized, should you make contact with a pothole, should you make contact with another vehicle, should you lose control of your vehicle going at extremely high rates, the consequence of those actions would be immediate harm, and if not death in some cases. So even though there was no law, there's always consequence. And we'll talk about that on Sunday. But what I really want to really take a deep dive in is understanding the purpose of the law, understanding the purpose of the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we've discovered is that, you know, good, well-meaning people attempt to try to do right by God by living the Ten Commandments. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. So the first thing the law does is it lets us know, it gives us parameters of what God classifies as sin and what God classifies as wrong.
That's right.
And I actually have an illustration tonight. Believe it or not, we're getting high tech.
Oh, that's so nice.
We're going to have, you know, an illustration come on screen here. The second thing the law does is it tells us our need for Jesus and our need for God's grace. I don't know about y'all, but the harder I tried to do right, the more I realized I couldn't do right without Jesus. And I need his grace. I need the Lord in my life.
Absolutely.
I'll never by myself be able to do everything I'm supposed to do in my own strength. And so the law shows us that trying to please God in your own strength, in your own effort, will not work.
It's near to impossible.
It is.
It is impossible.
It is impossible. And the illustration I like to use is, you know, my favorite sport is basketball.
But I don't have a favorite sport.
Yeah, but I was better at baseball, but my favorite sport was basketball. But the only problem is I got the light skin side of the genetic pool. And
what's the light skin side?
The one that couldn't jump. Oh. I couldn't jump. I just couldn't. All I could do was shoot, and I couldn't jump, which, you know, it kind of.
Okay.
But now there are other people who can jump out of the gym. And one person that we all could agree that could jump out of the gym is LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
We could all agree that LeBron James is definitely able to slam dunk a 10-foot hoop. He's probably even able to touch the top of the backboard, so he can jump to 11 and 12 feet. But what I want to ask everyone is, what if the Lord said he took all of salvation and put it all based on if one of us could jump 20 feet in the air?
20 feet.
So if someone could jump 20 feet without any help, without any aid, and slam dunk a basketball, then all of humankind would be saved from hell. Now, I could jump maybe 9 feet, maybe nine. LeBron, we could say, might be able to jump 12 and 13. But none of us are able to jump and reach 20 feet. Well, that's what the law is. We can all do good things, and good is really a relative term.
It is.
I would call myself jumping 9 feet better than a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old who may not be able to jump at all. However, when I compare myself to LeBron, LeBron can jump probably over me. And he can jump extremely high and extremely far.
They do have those dunking contests where they do jump over people.
That's right. And vehicles and cars.
They do.
But even though he can jump as high as he can jump, and he may be recognized as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, that's another debate for another day, basketball players of all time.
Yeah.
LeBron is still unable to jump 20 feet. And so, in essence, when Romans 3 and 20 says, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands, the law simply shows us how sinful we are. No matter how good we think we're doing, we still do not measure up to the standard of perfection, even on our best day, that is Jesus Christ. Verse 21, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We were made right by God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Verse 23. In verse 23, people quote verse 23 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They say, for all have sinned.
That's what they say.
And fallen short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is that saying with the illustration that we use tonight? None of us are able to jump and slam dunk on the 20-foot rim. On our best day, we cannot, without assistance, slam dunk on the 20-foot rim. So no matter how great we think we're doing, no matter how wonderful we think we are in certain areas, and that's why it's important for us to not judge people.
Oof. Yes, it is.
You know, because their sin might be different than your sin, or they sin.
But here it is. A sin is a sin is a sin. There's no weight on sin. All of it is sin. All of it is not of God.
And so Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned.
That's right.
Every last one of us have a nature within us that is opposite of God. And so you can brag on, well, I don't do this and I don't do that. You know, I've noticed in Christianity that we have like our top five sins.
We do.
You know, y'all remember back when, you know, minutes weren't free and they had that commercial for T-Mobile, your top five, your fave five, your fab five or whatever it was. And in churches you'll hear, don't have sex.
Okay.
In church, you'll hear, you better tithe every day.
Okay.
In churches, you'll hear, you better come to church every day.
Yeah.
In church, you better serve God.
Stay out the club.
You hear, stay out the club. You hear, don't drink.
Don't smoke.
You hear, don't live together.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What else, God? What do we hear growing up?
Y'all tell me some of the things that we hear in church a whole lot of time. y'all tell me some of the things that we hear.
Yeah. We did. We heard
because we have these top five, or these, you know, culturally unaccepted sins that we harp on. But let me give you a quick history lesson. There were the Ten Commandments that most of us don't really remember on a day-to-day basis. But then there are an additional 603 laws for us to keep.
Yeah.
That's a total of 613 rules.
Yes.
For us to keep.
That's a lot.
So we can harp on 10, but let's not forget the 603. And James said, he that offends in one point of the law is guilty of the entire law.
That's what he said.
I mean, can you imagine you had a really, really good day and you did 500 things right, but you blew it on 113 other things, and you were considered a rank sinner compared to God's standard?
Mm-hmm.
If it's all based in your effort? Or what about this? You did 612 things right, but you did one thing wrong. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans that anything apart from faith is sin.
That's what it says.
So anytime we have hesitation about, is God's word true, would be considered sin. And therefore, we're guilty of the whole law every time that we have trouble believing for the things we should believe for. That is an impossible standard to fulfill by ourselves. And that's why, again, we started in verse 20, Romans 3 and 20, that said, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands, because no one can uphold every point of the law at all times.
Mm-hmm.
What that does is, if I'm trying to uphold the law to be loved by God, is it creates guilt.
It does.
It creates shame.
It's a burden. It's a burden to think about all the stuff that you have to do in a day's time to be made holy or be made righteous. It's a burden to think about that. And then you really think, if I'm living up to these standards, why did I need Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I could have did it myself, or I could have made myself holy, or I could have made myself righteous, Jesus could have really stayed in heaven and not come down to earth and did all the suffering and, right. and all that. He could have really just stayed where he was.
Right.
So we could fulfill it. But the truth of the matter is we can't.
So let me go on even further now. There were 613 mitzvahs, laws that were established.
Mitzvahs.
But then rabbis have the authority to add what were man-made laws to protect people from breaking God's law, which were called Mishnah. So you had 613 laws established, and then every rabbi had their own law.
How was rabbis just making up laws?
They had that authority.
You just made that up.
So let me show you some man-made laws. See, we have here no cursing. We have here, don't wear pants to church, which is real.
And depending on your doctrine, yes.
Don't wear makeup. Don't wear jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these were Mishnahs.
Those are denominational differences that some churches do that.
So those laws.
I love pants. I'm sorry.
Those laws.
Yes.
Those laws became a weight for God's people. And for some reason, thousands of years later, in our own churches, people feel weighed down by, I got to do X, Y, and Z for God to love me.
Yeah.
And he's showing us in Romans chapter 3, and what we're reading tonight, 20 through 26, that we're not going to be made right by doing good.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 23, for everyone is sinning. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We all cannot dunk on 20 feet. Yet God, so we got to keep going to verse 24, Romans 3, 24. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight.
Mm-hmm.
And he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins.
Well, amen for that.
So Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he slam dunked on 20 feet. And God said, I am going to give you credit for slam dunking on 20 feet because of what Jesus did.
Absolutely.
You get right standing because of what Christ did, not what you do.
Praise God.
And it's free. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved,
mm-hmm.
through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God,
yes.
not of works, lest any man should boast. Anytime that we feel like we've done something to earn God's favor, earn mm-hmm. God's blessing, you know, I gave, so that's why God's got to come through for me.
Mm-hmm.
I gave big, so that's why God's going to come through big for me. No, God already came through big for
yes,
you.
Yes, he has.
And you give because in faith, you know, there's more where that came from because mm-hmm. God's already done mm-hmm. it. Well, I showed up at church. I serve at church. So, and I used to say this all the time.
Oh, I did too.
If you take care of God's house, he'll take care of your house. That was in my Pharisee days.
The truth is, God's taking care of our house long before we were even thinking about his house.
And because he's taking care of our house.
Yes.
We're able to
freely. It makes you
freely.
All the more. Yeah.
And so grace empowers you to live up to the standard. So I'm not saying throw away all the rules, throw away all the commandments, but just know that is a rubric, that is a guide for us to grow in maturity in. I've discovered that when we're empowered to live by grace,
mm-hmm.
that he empowers us to live an even more righteous lifestyle.
Yes, he does.
Than we would if we had rules.
Yes, he does.
So an authentic relationship with God empowers us to uphold the Christian standards and rules of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Christian standards and rules of the Bible were sent for our protection.
That's right.
Not sent to harm us.
That's true.
Let's keep reading in verse 25. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. So either he did it or he didn't. And y'all.
He did it.
I'm telling y'all. Either
praise the Lord.
Get to the outlet on this Sunday or already subscribe to our podcast. If I'm going to deal with sin on this upcoming Sunday. This series is just exciting. This series, because it's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. It is a lifestyle.
And it causes the entire Bible to finally make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes us to see the Bible only has one message, and that's Jesus.
Yeah, and yes, him and his love for us. That's exactly what the message is.
So in verse 25, for God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. Hallelujah. That's
Hallelujah.
Me and you. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness.
Yes.
For he himself is fair and just,
mm-hmm.
and he makes sinners right in his sight
when they
believe in Jesus.
I like that. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life.
Oh.
It didn't say people are made right with God when they start doing right.
Mm. So, that is really, in a nutshell, the entire Bible study. Tonight. I want this to settle in. I'm taking my
yes.
time. And we're going to take our time every Sunday and every Tuesday
mm-hmm.
to really talk about the revelation of God's grace. We believe that the revelation of God's grace is what's going to separate the local bodies and the body of Christ and members of the body of Christ from those who are being stagnant and aren't really enjoying the relationship with the Lord. It's about an authentic relationship with God.
It is.
In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, he said, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden. Mm-hmm. Why were they heavy laden? They had so many rules to upkeep in order to be made right.
They were burdened down.
And Jesus said, come to me, and I'm going to give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
See, a relationship with God produces rest in your life.
Yeah.
And when it produces rest in your life, you're able to uphold the rules and the standards, not because you have to,
but because you want to. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I want to know, are there any questions that you all have tonight? And, you know, while we're waiting for questions, you know, we've got some different announcements. You know, it is 9/11 today, and
yes,
we definitely want to pause and take a moment to remember those who are, you know, who the lives who were lost, and the families and the friends and the country who was left behind. But any questions that you all have? Also want to give a shout out to the minister's training course. I'm actually extending this free course open to everyone who believes they're called to the full-time ministry all the way through this Saturday. So you definitely want to be a part. If you have a call or you want to know more about the ministry, you can still sign up.
Now, I think the last day to sign up is
Saturday.
It's
Saturday.
Yeah. So you guys get in on that.
We got leadership development coming. Just so many things coming down the pipe. And if you're a person that you desire, you want to just free will offering. Today we have three ways to give at the outlet. You can give by texting the letters TOC to the number 73256. Again, you know, this is not out of compulsion or of necessity.
That's right.
But if you just want to partner with,
we just talked about that. Nothing is out of necessity.
But if you want to partner with the Outlet community and help us to continue to spread the message of Jesus Christ throughout this entire world. And we thank you all for your generous support and your generous giving. I mean, you all have been beyond generous.
Yes.
And we just know it's the grace of God that is leading people to just completely give of their very best.
That's
and,
true.
You all have been just completely wonderful for us. I did get one question in over the weekend that I want to address tonight. I'm going to definitely address this question here. And so again, you can ask questions on this feed, or if you want to ask questions throughout the week, feel free to inbox me. I'll be answering questions on our live broadcast as well as on Sunday mornings. But this one question talks about what does the Bible say about wine? Is it okay for Christians to drink wine? And so when we're talking about the revelation of grace and when we're going into just why we do what we do, as you see, you know, no one will ever be made right, as we read earlier, by the law.
That's right.
We'll only be made right by receiving Jesus Christ. And one thing I've noticed by receiving Christ, believing in what he's done, is that he examines our motive and our heart's intent. And so my answer to that question is, what did Holy Spirit tell you to do? Another baseline way to know if your actions are right: most people I've discovered give more respect to their pastors or their leaders than they do the presence of God. And so most times people adjust or clean up their attitudes and their lifestyles if they know that the pastor's coming over.
Right.
So how about us envisioning that God is in the room with us in everything that we do? And his Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. I've seen scriptures on both sides where you shouldn't drink. I've seen scriptures where it says drinking in moderation. What I will say for leaders, especially depending on the culture that you're in, really as a leader and in culture, if it's something that's going to cause someone else to stumble, going to cause someone else to fall, we do not want to use this liberty that we have as a stumbling block for someone else. And so we just have to ask ourselves, how far in Christian leadership and exemplary lifestyle do we want to live? What type of example do we want to set? And then by God's grace, we put ourselves under certain constraints,
mm-hmm.
not because we can't, but because we will not allow our freedom to be a stumbling block to someone else.
Yeah, you have liberty. You truly have liberty. My thing will be just pray to the Lord and see what the Holy Spirit tells you to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm not condemning you one way or the other. And the Lord isn't either.
No.
So.
He's not. And it's all about, again, a relationship.
It is about relationship.
Not rules, but allowing the relationship to lead you into a greater
absolutely
adherence
it is.
Of biblical principles. The second question is, should a believer play the lotto or the slot machine?
Okay.
Should I tell them a funny story?
You can. I knew that was going to come up. Y'all, I turned 21 on my birthday. Not this past birthday.
No,
this
not
was
this
years
last
ago. Time. Years ago. And we were dating. Were we engaged?
We were dating.
Were we married?
No, we were about to be engaged.
We were engaged.
Yes, we were engaged.
Y'all, we don't even know.
Okay. We've been married so long, and it's all blend together.
It's really not that long compared to, but.
It's been 100 years.
Oh, hush. So, yes, so we were engaged, and I wanted to go to a casino for my birthday.
And by the way, I like going to casinos because they got the best buffets in the world.
They do.
I ain't
going to
lie.
Oh, my goodness.
I ain't too stuck up. I'm going to go get them crab legs. Who you telling? You better get them crab legs.
They're so good. I be rolling out the casino. I be so full.
Mm.
It's amazing.
Mm.
But anyway, so I wanted to play the slot machines for my birthday.
And Ashley's mom went to take her gambling.
Yeah, she did.
Now, at the time, I was extremely...
He was so Levitical, meaning like he was so like... We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that when we first got engaged now, and married.
Now, mind you, this is after we got done going to the buffet and committing extreme gluttony.
That's true. We didn't think about that part.
No. Gluttony ain't a sin.
We didn't think about that one. We did. But we went to the slot machine.
So I was perfect because I had just committed gluttony, but I sure as heck wasn't going to gamble.
Well, I wanted to gamble.
The sinner.
So... I went to a slot. I just picked a random slot. And I think I played like the nickel machine or something.
Yes,
I wasn't
going
to spend too much money because
she's still
frugal.
Cheap. She's still cheap gambling. How cheap people gamble?
Listen, you got to do what you got to do. So I went to the machine. I think it was like, was it the nickel machine? It had to be like, I don't know, it was something. I had $5, y'all. I said I wasn't going to spend more than $5.
And so Ashley has this Midas touch.
Yeah.
And Ashley hits the jackpot.
Although I didn't know I did it.
And she didn't know she did it. And because I was so Levitical, the machine was asking us, how do you want us to pay out this jackpot? You can go as low as one by one, or you can go all the way up to multiply this winning by 1,000 by 1,000.
I didn't know.
And so, because I was Levitical.
Yes, and so literally, so the machine starts like freaking out.
It's the lights are going,
and I'm like, so I just hit a button.
Because I refused on that jackpot to help her. I am not going to help you gamble because then I will be
committing.
Y'all,
that's why we was broke because he wouldn't help me. You see? The Lord was trying to give you a chance.
So Ashley, get up here and Ashley go,
I did. I was like, okay.
She didn't know what number to push. So she said, I got to keep it simple. One by one. She won 30 cents. We could have won 30 grand.
I didn't know.
And I was Levitical. So, what are we saying about gambling? You got to check your motive.
Be wise when you gamble.
You got to check your motive.
If you hit a jackpot, hit the max. That's what I learned.
If you're gambling because you don't believe God has provided everything you need, then you're not acting in faith. And so you got to ask yourself, do I trust in an electronic machine more than I trust in the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills?
Well, amen.
So trust and look within. And what is my motive? Of God, I don't trust you, but Lord, bless this nickel or bless this dollar.
Bless this hand. Nickel.
Come on, Jesus. So trust. So those are the only questions that we're going to deal with tonight. There are some very heavy questions that I will deal with our church, with our congregation, dealing with suicide. Mm. You want to be there when I actually deal with how does God view suicide? You definitely want to be there for that. And I believe I'll be able to get to that question this week. There's a level of scripture that I need to lay down in order to be able to answer that question, and then everybody have the context of scripture. That's why we're taking our time. We are saying some radical stuff. That's why this is called the Radical Series.
Yes.
Because we are revolutionizing the way we've heard the gospel. So,
amen.
Hey. Hey, Pastor Bourne, good to see you. Just want to see if there are any other questions. Oh, Kim says not all casinos have great buffets. Well, that's
she said
what she heard.
Oh, okay. I hadn't been to a bad one yet. Praise the Lord, because they be expensive. So I would be mad if I went to a bad one.
So I think, just looking here, any other questions before we close out tonight? All right. As always, follow us at www.theoutletcommunity.com. Well,
all hearts and
how many? Denise, are you asking us how many casinos we've been to?
So the ones I've been to a couple in St. Louis, and then Mississippi had the one on the Gulf.
They had one in Philadelphia too.
They had one in Philadelphia. My mom loves crab legs, so no, for real, y'all. She's a little crab leg crazy, so. When it was like her birthday or something, we would go to the casino, go to
the boat,
or her friends would pay for her to like eat crab legs. She would be so happy. So we went at least I'll say almost like once a month maybe to get some crab legs.
That's right. We knew we headed to Vicksburg. We knew it was gonna be a good night. Actually, I kind of like Philadelphia's more than Vicksburg, and I like the.
I don't remember
I
which one
St.
was
Louis.
Which.
St. Louis was my favorite.
Yeah, they had a Mongolian. Sorry.
Anyway,
look, we can talk about the
casino.
Food.
We're talking about casinos.
We're talking about the
on
food.
The church call.
Oh,
and
we're
the church
so
and
sorry.
The Bible study. What kind of pastors are we?
Just some good food, y'all.
We like some food, Jesus. We will go into the highways and the byways on the missionary plantations for the food of the Lord.
Absolutely.
Oh, so I think we've been to about four.
Yeah.
Four.
We hadn't been to the one in Detroit yet.
No. My grandma trying to get me to go to the Motor City.
She's been collecting. What are you
coupons.
Calling?
Coupons. She got
yes,
coupons.
Yes, she's been going so much. She got the...
They know her on a first name basis.
Not good. But yeah, so she's trying to get us to go with her.
Oh, well, we thank you all so much for tuning in to our Tuesday online Bible study. We love the opportunity to come into your home. So if you're ever in the Metro Atlanta area, we'd love to have you as a guest in our home at King Middle School in the heart of the city. God is doing an amazing thing and some amazing things at the outlet. And we are just so humbled to be a part of this.
Yeah.